We will start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We will now go on to public comment. Nobody had signed up for public comment. Is there anybody out there in radio land who would like to come in with a public comment?
Yes, I'd like David Dolan.
Okay. I
had a question about a tax card in Samberton. Referenced the land being posted with no owner, and it's listed as common land. It's lot 3-34, and it's not properly posted. It doesn't have the owner's name on it, and I wanted to see if the police department could go up there and remove that. It's a beach on Plummer Pond, and the residents newly posted it, and they're starting to tell people to stay off the beach.
I know that our assessing assistant, Terry, was looking into that today. We have to just... You're talking about the common land area?
Yeah, lot 334, 61 Hubert Drive.
So this
I believe not...
I just want to make sure I understand. So somebody has posted that with basically a keep out sign, and you don't think it's theirs to post?
Oh, well, can I go post one there? You know what I mean? I'm just like, no, you know, and tell them to leave? Of course not. It's common land. The land use code is exempt municipal.
Okay. Loves it. So Terry's looking at it?
We are looking into it. Because did you come into the town office on Monday, sir?
I did not. I just talked to Terry by a phone.
Oh, okay. Then apparently there's been more than one.
Okay.
They're kicking it. Everybody from the other side of the lake, they're telling not to come over there. And they've threatened people that are my neighbors and told them and their children, their young children, to get it. I'm the only one in my side of the lake that's up here right now. You know, a lot of them are staying home because of COVID and masks. I didn't realize I'm going to give them a number to call in. I came down to town meeting and I realized and I saw on the phone number. So, you know.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
David Dolan, D-O-L-A-N.
Yeah, Terry is currently looking into it, and as soon as she gets something, she will have her get back to you.
Okay. In the meantime, could you have the police remove the signs up there? Because it's common land, and there's no owner listed on the card, so whoever put them there doesn't have a right to do that. I would like that done so that we can go over to the beach tomorrow. And that there won't be any harassment or disputes. That's why I've been trying for many weeks to resolve these issues with Terry. So I guess I had to come down to the town meeting, you know. I'm trying to be neighborly and not be harassed by the people up there. And the signs need to be removed immediately, technically, by New Hampshire RSA. Maybe you could check with Fish and Game on that law. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I looked into the law enough and consulted an attorney.
Would you potentially give me a call tomorrow so we can talk about that? I mean, unless you want to give me your phone number over.
Terry, I gave Terry the phone number. She has it. I left her another message today.
Okay.
She's supposed to call me back. And she didn't. It's hampering the use of the beach on hot days for the children. I mean, there's other beaches to go to, but they're quite crowded right now, you know. With COVID-19, I'd rather use a beach in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yep. And the other beaches have a lot of cars without Samaritan stickers going to them, too. And I know there's no lifeguard, and it's hard to govern these things now. But and that's probably why they're doing what they're doing with those no trespassing signs.
So just to be clear, both the Dr. True Road and the Hermit Lake beaches were built with federal federal funding, so we can't limit those to Samberton residents only. Because it was federal funding,
okay,
everyone's entitled to them. But this is a different situation, and we understand if it's not their property, they shouldn't be posting it, and they have no jurisdiction. So,
yeah, if you could get them removed, you know, have maybe talk to the police tonight. Because it's already been, I've been waiting for an answer for a long time now, and I don't want to go over there and have a dispute or, you know, I think the police really need to get up there and remove those signs.
I'll send an email to our police chief so he'll see it first thing in the morning.
Know offhand which, was it an abutter to that property that posted the sign, or was it somebody else?
I have no idea because they didn't put what they're legally required to put on those signs. They didn't put who they were.
Okay. I just, because if there was an opportunity to have somebody talk with them and make sure they understand they're not authorized to do that, we could do that. But if there's no identifying information, we'll just
Could maybe leave a message on where the sign was or a legal notice from the town. You know, that they can't post property that aren't, you know, listed with the owner's name on them and so forth. And there's no owner to that property, so they can't post something that they do not own. And it says municipality. I mean, you guys could post it. It's the town. And it says municipality on it, common land. And the land used is exempt municipal.
Yeah, I just looked it up in the on the tax card, and I see what you're talking about. So.
Okay.
There's an association down there.
I don't know of any.
Yeah.
Okay.
We will take care of that.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in with the information.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think until somebody can prove otherwise that it's not common land, then taking down any signs makes perfect sense. And if something were to change and somebody were to prove that it had somehow transferred, that's a different story. But
For right now,
it's 150 feet of beachfront.
And,
for people to get to.
And
so.
It states that it's municipality property, I believe.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Anybody else out there have anything for public comment? Okay. If not, then we'll move on to new business. Push your door.
Go on mute.
Okay, the highway department, gravel roads. Johnny, you want to come up here and brief us on that?
You don't have to. You can sit back there if you want.
We like to have him up here.
Yeah.
That way everybody can hear him.
So you guys got a copy of my email?
Yep.
Yes.
So at the end of the springtime grading this year, we did with money because we didn't expend it all in mud season, I was able to fair amount put the crown back in the road in a smaller portion of Knox Mountain. And it's a really worthwhile venture. So if you read my email, I tried to list on there the things, both benefits and why we need to do it. It's just we have lost a lot of the fines over the years that we can do that with because we have a lot of about an inch and a half snow now when mud season is going on. So what I've been using, quarter inch ledge pack.
Yep.
And what the purpose of this is crowning and or super elevating or tilting the road so that the water, when it rains, hits instead of heading on the road and the car is heading and causing all these little potholes, that the water is sheeting off as quickly as possible and to a controlled area. And it really helps the road. So in that way, it will help the road last longer where it needs grading. Also, with a smaller zone, not that I'm encouraging, but faster. But you do get a smoother ride in the road, better on your car. You know. So there's many benefits. I'm also hoping by doing this, I used to do it a lot. What we've done over the years and what has been happening before me and some since me, I'm trying to hold it down to like a 2% crown, which is what you see all over paved roads. That's kind of like the go-to. Town roads, we could actually bring our paved roads up a little higher because they're not so fast. But you do a 2% pitch when we roll them and everything, I think we lose even more of the 2% crown. So the water just kind of sits there. But by doing this, I'm hoping that, you know, some of that will hold over months as well. It's obviously going to get mixed up with the rest of this. But maybe when we get the melt this spring, it'll help that water go. I see some benefits in mud season as well. I'm doing a lot of things to hopefully mitigate some mud season.
Yeah, if the water doesn't pool there or puddle there, and then sink in, then if you can get it to run to the sides, the center stays drier.
So it's just that much more water we can get off. I mean, when you're in that time of year, every day matters to people, myself included.
Oh yeah.
That it's getting firm and a better ride. So yeah. But anyway, so the road's been flat for so long. What's happened is the town has always gone by after the grader and either the person rolling, the grader operator, and sometimes other members of the crew. Rocks kind of come up, like same as they do in your garden.
Yeah.
And we pick the bigger ones and throw them out in the woods and so on and so forth. But because we've been doing it flat for so long, here where we would need to take the gravel from what we have, pull it into the center to make a crown, they're just all over the place out there. And every time the grader operator tries that, we end up with them out there with the whole crew. And so it's not very efficient for it. So I can't really estimate it as you would like a job, let's say, road or, because some places the road is so narrow that one load will go a decent distance, and other places the road is so wide it's going to take two or three loads to get you. So I could estimate it, but it would be just in and out, and a real degree of where I'm looking for exact measurements going on there, ballpark. So what I was gonna propose, $50,000. The prices are around for 3/4 inch. Around prices that I'm getting is about $960 a ton, and that would end up right around $5,208
is what you said, but that was at $950.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So that's there, and I'll shop around with that obviously and check out the product before we purchase it, and I might be able to get it. So I just gave you an octave seed kind of number on it and try not to go over that, as opposed to this is our estimate number.
Because it'll take weeks to get it up. put through the cycle, and by the time you
right.
you do it, you could have already gotten a couple of roads done. So.
Yeah, because we did when we did Brook Road and a piece of Knox Mountain, we're up $21,000, $22,000 worth of work. So it actually adds up pretty quick.
Yeah. yeah.
But if you take a ride over there, I've had so many compliments from the people. Actually had people who grown up in town. That's the way the roads used to be. I remember that. you know. So
you had the estimate of $50,000 for the ledge pack. What about, do you have an idea of what you're looking at for the additional trucking?
Well, the additional trucking is basically kind of as needed,
right.
the way I did it. Because I did, even on the other two roads, I hired a truck. So because at that same time, we had the excavator in town. So
right.
I kept a truck with me. And so we had three trucks hauling to the grader. So it's kind of as needed. I can watch my budget because I don't want to spend all that money this early in the year.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because we don't know what the winter's going to be like.
We don't know what the winter, mud season,
yep.
and all that. So I would like to hire somebody here to help us, especially if we move something in down a little further. I'm going to probably start because we already did the ditch work on Perkins, Philbrook, Cram, and Chapman. I was thinking we've already done the ditch work on that last summer. Start and just kind of finish all that up.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, toward fall, we'll start on our ditch work again.
So did I understand you right? You're looking to hire somebody?
No, that was just a joke.
Okay.
Got to hire Trish.
Trish was talking about all the work she was doing.
So do you think the as-needed trucking will be under your $2,500 limit so you don't...
Well, no, as needed, we've never actually asked what a trucking is. We've never really asked for permission for that. It's one of those things.
Okay.
But I'll keep it. I want to spend maybe a couple or 3 weeks worth of the trucking, one truck at a time. So it's great. He's got to keep up because what he has to do is actually go ahead of where they're bringing the material in. Kind of rough up the road and kind of a little bit of a grade, and that helps the new material bond to the old material. I put that stuff's actually worked awesome this year. We haven't had hardly very little dust. I didn't use it on every single road, some of the smaller dead end roads, but on the heavier traveled roads.
Yeah.
And one of the things you see a lot of times this year, especially as dry as it's been, is the washboard.
Yep.
We haven't really seen any of that. I go to other places, and you can't see behind it. Sunny spots, you might see some dust, but awesome. So far.
Before we go too much further, we should have checked with Tom just to do the verification of whether he's alone to be in compliance.
Oh, yeah, and we should actually,
and then
we're actually supposed to give him permission to call in by,
yeah.
So
we haven't got to any kind of voting or anything yet, but we're about to.
Yeah, I make a motion that we authorize Tom to call in telephonically.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Tom, you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got any comments on this?
Well, my only comment was it something that was budgeted for in the his budget that we approved, or is this an afterthought?
Is it in your budget? I mean, or are we going to have to give up something if we don't?
No. What it is
the $50,000, was that budgeted in the budget for this purpose, or is this something that's just kind of come up?
It's actually, Tom, it's budgeted in the road construction budget, the $600,000.
Was it in your budget when you presented at the town meeting when the budget committee and the selectmen approved your budget. Was this money in there for this purpose?
Yeah, it's in there. And we also some of the work that we had sent out under RFP came in less than what was estimated, so we had some more money there in the same line. So I'm looking to reappropriate it. We normally hire other people with this money, so instead of hiring, we're going to save some money and do it ourselves. So.
But did you bring this up at the budget committee hearings? What that you wanted to spend this money for this purpose?
I didn't, didn't actually know that how the contracts were going to go, if we were going to save or it was going to be exactly what I had estimated.
So Tom, this is Jim. I'll just say, you know, we didn't get into
I'll go along with it, but I guess my point is, in the future, if you're going to come forward with a memo to spend $50,000 on something like Dura Rose, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but that is something that you need as a manager to put in your budget and bring up at the budget committee hearings and present to the selectmen that you want to specifically expend $50,000 for a particular project. And it shouldn't be an afterthought. So I guess all I'm suggesting is in the future, you might want to be a little more aware of putting that stuff in your budget and having the money approved at town meeting and making the people at public hearings and budget committee aware you want to spend that spend that kind of money on this project. So that's my only point. If it's something that comes up as a afterthought, I want to spend $50,000 to do this project, and maybe you got $50,000 in your budget, I don't like doing business that way. I think it should be more transparent. I guess that's all I'm saying, and that's just one point of view, and I think maybe in the future you can give some more thought to that type of process. That's all. But I'll vote to go along, I suspect, with Jim and John on approving it.
Yeah. Hey, so Tom, this is Jim. Just, in Johnny's defense, we didn't ask him in the budget process to lay out every project he was going to work on. He had money set aside for paved roads. He had money set aside for gravel roads. This is part of it. So if we want to have more insight into that, we'll ask him this year to say, tell us your top paving projects, and we'll, let's pick a threshold, whether it's 25,000, 50,000, and then, he can tell us that, but we never asked. So that's my only, I absolutely understand your point, but since he wasn't asked to provide that breakout in the budget process, I'm not going to hold it against him.
It is a point, too. We're just starting this, and I actually think it's going to be a great program, and I want to continue it. We haven't done any real work on our gravel roads in a long time, and I'll be planning on it in future planning.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah, and that also, again, in springtime, yes, mud season and everything is not a killer. That's part of the reason I don't want to just pull it all out of my operating, because I have it in my operating, but I don't want to pull it out at this time again because I don't know what they're going to bring.
Nobody's got a crystal ball.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we authorize the highway director to spend up to $50,000 out of line 4909.000 highway roads to recrown and regrade as much as he can do with that amount.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion of the motion? Okay, since we have one selectman coming in by teleconference, I'm going to go to a roll call vote. Tom Salatello?
Yes.
Jim Dick?
Yes.
John Olmstead, yes. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thanks for coming in tonight, John.
You guys have anything else? Questions? I mean, it's been a while.
How's your knee?
It's doing better. It's doing better. I got a hydrocortisone shot in it in my foot, and it's healing.
How's Mel?
It's getting better, I think, and we're on the upswing.
So. Yep. I learned a lesson about climbing into big dump trucks with Justin on Wednesday. Slipped off the step and took my shin out.
It's not hard to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I had both of them done the same day.
Oof. That's rough.
I'm only going through that pain once. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I don't have anything else for Johnny. So.
I did actually, while Johnny is still here, I flagged the email about the Congregational Church tree, and I forgot to follow up.
But that should be Guy, right?
Yeah. So I did email Guy, and Johnny did say that he would be available to help him with any of that cleanup if need be.
Yeah. Just get over there and take a look at it.
Right away.
Yeah. Sounds like it's looking pretty iffy. No. Rather than have it come down on the back of the building,
it's easier to do it controlled than it is to go up after.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper, that's for sure. Okay, great.
And before Johnny leaves, just to bring you all up to date, I got an email about our road study not having the seal and the signature on it. So Johnny contacted the company, and they're writing us a letter of justification why they didn't do it. And why they didn't follow the RSA. So, and I talked to the individual, and I told him as soon as that letter comes in, I'll forward it on to him.
Okay.
So, that's just my eye.
All right. You guys have a good night.
You too, Johnny. Too.
Say hello to Mel.
All right, I will.
Okay, moving on, we will move on to the LRPC energy purchase.
Yeah, so Lakes Region Planning Commission, normally the town has been in a group purchasing cooperation with other towns to help with our energy consumption costs. And I guess the Planning Commission isn't going to be doing the program this year because of declining who would like to provide us our energy.
So it's not directly related, but does this include, I mean, we get our propane through the same sort of arrangement, right?
Our heating is through a different cooperative.
So it's not LRPC?
It is through the Planning Commission, but it's just for the heating and that stuff.
I guess my question is, are they going to cancel that one too?
I don't know.
So
all they're talking about here is the electricity aggregation.
Right.
The problem with that is if you don't lock it in, it's the cost shifts between summer months and then fluctuations in the rate. So, I can reach out to a couple of people that I know. It would be a little bit of a project to grab all of our energy stuff, but I mean, I think it's certainly worth it. Or we can go with these people for the next year that they have been providing us with the service.
Well, so when it comes to power, there aren't a whole lot of choices, right? We've got what we're getting now. You've got Eversource, you've got the electric cooperative, NHEC.
Yeah, but those are like we have the co-op or the HBPS.
That's Eversource.
So, but they make arrangements with Eversource for these for our energy consumption bills or whatever, this outside company.
Yeah. Well, so I think we just so this is November. So the good news is they gave us a heads up 4 months early.
Yeah.
I think we ask
Eversource, we ask New Hampshire Electric Cooperative, and then we ask these guys for...
I think we have to keep Eversource, because Eversource is, like, people that provide all the stuff here. These are just people that bill us, like...
This company, I think, has worked as a conglomerate.
Yeah.
To get a group of people together and then go to Eversource.
Yeah, so I'm just reading the letter that says, if you'd like to work with another supplier or revert to NHEC or Eversource, please contact LRPC. So I think we just ask them, get the three quotes and then
go from there. Go with a little bidder.
And then see if we can find out if they're going to do the same thing on the heating side. Because remember what a...
If we don't have to switch.
Exactly. It was such a nightmare last year switching over from Pemi River, whoever we had, to Energy North.
Irving.
If it's not a huge cost difference, it's just not worth the hassle of, Old Town Hall freezing, Chapel Station being out of gas. So I guess regardless of whether they're going to do that again or not, it's the same question.
We're going to go with the same company.
Do we stick with Irving and avoid the headache? But we need to at least have an idea of what the cost difference is before we take some convenience over some costs. So.
Well, last year when everything was sort of trickling down, I think some of the things got mixed.
Then that likely
won't happen again, but you never know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you can contact them and see what we do to get some other prices, and then they may end up still being the cheapest. And that whole business of energy broker is weird.
It is weird.
That you can get, they're getting their power from the exact same people, but you can get three different rates to get the same electricity source. So.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okie doke. We will move on to the Old Town Hall rental request. I heard this was coming, so what this guy's trying to do is they're talking about trying to get once a year once a month during the summer months, making an artisan fest
every week.
So
come on up.
You can you don't have to come up to the table if you don't want, but you can move up to the front row. Or
okay, this is Dawn.
We're all COVID free, so
you're only as good as your last test. You never know.
I got my coronavirus in 2007, and that's it. Okay.
So that was going to be my question. How often are you looking to do this? What support do you need?
I'm going by, and we had... successful. And actually the last summer but it'd be different wanting to try to help the town band too at the same time or anybody else. Because I know I talked to Virginia Chapman, and she's very excited. Concerts haven't been as well attended lately, especially the Christmas in July one. So she's flexible, and they could work with us and even have like a little, music inside the later on, because we wanted to keep it going till close to Christmas. That's when buying for Christmas. But we were thinking, because some of the people that are coming, about 20 vendors, that are interested, because I just put something out on Facebook. It was an interest, and it's been really well received. So I just, you know, thought maybe 3 to 8, because I found out the library's open till 8, you know, help them out. They use they're flexible. I've been hesitant on calling her back until I knew it was approved, and we want to reach out to some farms, you know, because some people want to be outside. Like, we have Elise Ford that's interested, but she's but inside we don't. My husband is a mechanical.
Design your barn?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he built it.
Yeah, I know. We watched jealously.
He was out there just before the rain to stain it. But this is what he came up with for a seating plan that is socially distanced and safe for people to come in and out. Thank you. He even did a one-way thing, sort of like Market Basket, you know. Which not everybody follows.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Especially when they want to go back to the bathroom in the back. They'll be going the quickest way.
Yes, yes. But I didn't, you know, I don't know the regulations for, you know, but I know the 6 foot. So these are all 6 foot tables that he used. And we wanted to utilize some of the tables that are there because there's a lot of them, but I don't know if we'd be able to.
Basically, square tables.
Rectangular, yeah.
Oh, no, there's some. We calculated it. Fresh one day with some of the board members of it. Back the next day, my husband, so he could measure it. But there's like 1, 2, 3, 4. Five-foot tables. And then the rest are 7, 8, and 10. If that would be okay.
You don't have a date and a time in here. Are you looking for a blanket approval? And
we are thinking of starting on the 22nd, which is the Christmas in July with the band.
Okay, and what days are you going to be in there?
Wednesdays.
Every Wednesday?
Right.
Okay.
Only because that's when the band is.
Yeah.
So we didn't think it would be very good to change.
And that's good because I know the planning board for their larger meetings have been using Old Town Hall so they could spread out. We don't want to if you had said Thursday, we could have had a problem because they need that space on Thursdays. Every other just out of curiosity, percentage-wise, do you have an idea of how many of the artisans that are interested are Samberton versus local area?
99% are Samberton.
Okay.
Yeah. Just one person who's on the board. We set up prior to.
What do you think, Tom?
Well, you've been involved in that quite a bit, so I think, I know Trish has done work on that as well. I think I would go with whatever recommendation you have.
I mean, I like the idea that we're supporting local entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. We're supporting the local band. I mean, we contribute money to Moulton's band, but it really takes, you know, people to show up to the concerts to make it a real thing. So I think it's kind of a win-win.
Okay.
You know, I guess my only caveat would be if for some reason something were to come up where for a town function we needed that space on that Wednesday, you know, we'd have to coordinate something. But
yeah, you might have to curtail your hours at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Like I said, Wednesday's a pretty good night because there really isn't anything except the board meetings on Wednesdays.
Right. I think it's Andy's.
Yeah, I would support your recommendations. I think that, you know, you guys really done a lot of work on this, have a good understanding, and so I think that would be, that's a plus as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, if something should go awry, we can always deal with that, but I think based on the effort that's been made so far by the town and the employees and selectmen, I think you're correct, and I think John and I would support your initiative.
The only time I can see where we might really have a problem would be if the Board of Selectmen had a public hearing.
Right, but we'll,
then we might have to make some sort of arrangements either.
We should know that far enough in advance that
yeah.
you could get the word out. You know, we're not
yeah.
having a market on
okay.
on that
yeah.
particular Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other question comes is the fees involved in it.
Well, it is a profit, like I had
mentioned. Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I was thinking. The fees normally, if it's a non-profit for a Samberton organization, we waive the fees, but.
Charge each vendor above and beyond that. But it is for profit, so I
sure.
want to, you know. Yeah. That's what our insurance company recommends. Obviously,
yeah.
they're going to want
yeah.
us to be very, really cautious about
mm-hmm.
it. So I'm
yes.
not sure where there's like would be a happy medium for that.
Yeah. But if the insurance waiver, we might be able to waiver the fee, the $25 fee for it.
Well, yeah, I think.
Worthwhile cause for Samberton residents
yeah.
and Samberton artisans.
But
so.
We also have to take into account there is, it does require support from our side, you know, to get the building open, get it locked up. As we head into the winter months,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's heat and things that have
to. Heat has to be on because the heat'll have to be turned on in the morning. Otherwise, you'll be sitting there with the heat turned on and you'll be still going.
It warms up pretty. The new system warms up pretty well, but
yeah.
So I think, you know, $25 every week is maybe, I don't want to dampen the enthusiasm,
right. Right.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to find a
happy medium.
Yeah, maybe we do the, you know, like $25 a month, and use that to cover any of our costs for getting people up there to help with the setup or the opening and closing and
yeah.
any of the issues that come up. Would that
well, actually, I was planning the 25 a week, so it's up to you, you know, but that's why I'm charging the vendors.
Oh, so you are,
yes.
okay.
Okay.
But I'm doing the advertising, which I want to do, especially at the beginning, and then above and beyond, like I said, I would like to pick a charity.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, I didn't know you were charging yet the vendors.
Yeah, we're only charging like $5 or $10, you know, which is really cheap for,
yeah.
you know.
Basically crap,
event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I think it says in here that you have to provide insurance waiver.
Yeah, we want to encourage people to use a town hall, so we can cover some of the costs a little bit with heat. But I think we don't want to make the rent so high that it's unattractive to people to use it. And I think the more use it gets with our community groups and people, the better off we are as a town.
I would have to look into that more, like a tool
yeah.
type thing.
Yeah, so, and so that would be something that you would have to set up on the recurring basis, and whether you can do it once for the season or, and they're not expensive, which is another reason I'm kind of more inclined to, if we went with like $25 a month for every month, if you use it during the month, you pay $25. You take care of whatever you have to for the insurance waiver, because we got to make sure everybody's protected, and you most of all.
$25 a month during summertime and $50 a month for the heat.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that much, you know, for 4 hours, even though you have to start it a little bit ahead of time. I don't, you know, we're not going to have a lot of expense other than somebody going to open and close it during the summer. I think it'll all average out to cover, you know, and we could try it. And if we start to see, you know, the heating bill up there starts to creep up because we're using it more, then hopefully it continues next year and we can talk about the arrangement. But
yeah.
I'm with Tom. I think the more we can do to encourage people to use that facility, the better off we'll be.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, if you want to do 25 a month, I think that's reasonable, and I think that would help encourage people to use it. And then if in the future it ends up being a little more expensive, we can always look at adjusting the fee a little bit. But I think getting people to use that building is really, you know, important and for the town. And I think you're right. You don't want to make it so unbearable that people won't, you know, rent it. And so I think that's a good way to go. And I think people in town would, you know, appreciate that from the selectmen to allow them to use that building with reasonable cost for them.
Okay, then I would make a motion that we approve the rental application for the Old Town Hall with a renegotiated fee schedule of $25 a month instead of a week.
For use on Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m.
From 3 to 8 p.m.
And then, you know, whenever you end for the year, it'll stop. I mean, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Anybody have any comments? We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any comments about the motion? Hearing none, I will do a roll call vote. Tom Salatello.
Yes.
Jim Dick.
Yes.
John Olmstead votes yes. Ayes have it. Motion passes.
Okay. I'm jealous of this, too. This is...
Yeah. This is much better than even the planning board ever gets.
He's been working on that since we went in there last week. So, and he had just had carpal tunnel.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, tell him he did very good work.
Well, thank you very much, and it was nice meeting you in person. It was nice meeting you.
Yeah. And I know what carpal tunnel's like. I've had both.
He's been waiting. He's a veteran, so he's been waiting
the VA.
October to get that done.
Wow.
You know, and just did it a week ago. So he's doing good.
Well, thanks, Don.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
You might want to is if he's a veteran.
Well, sir.
Point.
Yep, we're good, Tom.
Okay. Sorry I couldn't make it, but I wasn't feeling very well, so I've been trying really to keep my distance from people this week, so I didn't want to come in and either expose you guys to something or for me to pick up something. So
yeah,
sorry, I'm just trying to be real careful because I got to tell you, if I get that virus, that probably lasts a week. And
better
really try
better
to be
safe
careful.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, wait, we got some stuff to go. I'm sorry. I thought you meant were we done with the rental. We got a couple other things to get through.
Do you want me to sign that?
Can you stick around, or do you need to go? All right.
And so that will be that check will be for your July for the July.
Okay.
Month of July. All right.
Look into those people. They're
okay.
TRICARE.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
So I think we lost Tom at 6:50.
Tom?
I mean 5:50.
Is Ray still there? Or did we lose Ray?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Okay. I thought maybe after Jim insulted you, you dropped off.
I just chided him, that's all.
Okay, moving on. Atlantic Broadband request.
The
we
never
have
end.
The information in our packet.
Yes.
No.
So Atlantic brought, or the attorney that has been working for the town of Stamberton on the franchise agreement reached out, and they're still working on it, and they had a very detailed map provided as to which parts were not currently being served and which part, and then some updates on some parts of Stamberton that are now being served. And what she's asking is if we would potentially as a town want to put in some of the money to expand those capabilities in the underserved areas. And then secondly, she wanted to know if any of those underserved areas were school children who might, because we might be able to get some funding through the broadband expansion. So I have reached out to the SAU and, just briefly, and I said, this is what we're looking at. Do you know of any children? Do you track? I'm sure they track the information. And so the superintendent pointed me in the right direction to see where we can, if there are any children in the area who aren't getting internet connection, that we might be able to get some of that recouped.
So she hasn't finished even doing the franchise agreement from 2018?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we don't really have any. So in the original agreement,
there
was a cost-sharing formula based on the number of homes per mile. And, if it was, I think it was 10 houses per mile, the cable company would foot the bill. It stepped down from there over how many houses per mile and what the cost share to somebody who wanted to extend cable out there would be.
Yeah.
But if we don't even have an agreement, then that's kind of...
Well, so I'm coming into this sort of on like the tail end, I would think, but... Further down in the email, Atlantic Broadband mentioned that one of the issues with is a hang up is the fact that there are these underserved areas, and they want to know if we would help kick in to get those people up to date.
I'm trying to go back and forth between the. Because I know they did extend it on Knox Mountain Road, but not all the way, just a certain portion of it. So the original, in 2018,
It was Knox Mountain Road, Mountain Road, Hale and Morrison, Tilton Bridge, Shute Hill and Rufus Colby, Dearborn and Oak Hill were the areas that didn't have service.
Yep.
And then, oh, I could have kept that open.
Oh, the Dearborn, Shute Hill, Rufus, Colby. They said the Tilton Bridge one was built.
That's only, there's only one house on Tilton Bridge.
This, yeah.
This, this was built, yeah. And this home can have cable services.
Yeah. Yeah, so the fundamental, extending service is a great idea, but, you know, it comes down to cost and where the money would come from. Yeah. And
they're saying the cost for the 32 homes would be $52,582.
Yeah, saw that. But we don't know what portion of that they'd want us to pay. We don't know what of that might get covered under the gopher funds if, in fact, it provided service to a,
right,
a
there are, like,
school age.
Right. There are hiccups on that, too. Like, it has to be, like, they can't have, like, they can't have access to, like, this type of service. Like, I think it's, like, all or nothing. If they have, like, a different type of connectivity, then they wouldn't necessarily be eligible.
And, oh, by the way, it's all got to get done by December 15th.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's taken, you know, it's July, and it takes up to 4 months to get the material once they order it. So that window is closing very quickly. Up to five months, so we're almost.
Ray Massey.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
No, he was just logging back in. He got.
Yeah, it sounds like I need an upgrade here and Maple Circle, so.
I didn't see anything in here that indicated how much. I don't see that we've got the money anywhere in the budget. You know, and especially since we're going into FY21, trying to reduce the amount of excess so that we stay, you know, at a lower overall budget. You know, even if they want $10,000 or $15,000 to extend it, I don't see how we can pull that out of anywhere. And
what I read in here is kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, is it the town's job to pay taxpayer money to extend cable service?
Isn't that what the franchise renewal would be for?
Well, that just is designed to set the terms of their provision of cable service to the town.
Right, but I thought in that was also the original, like, fee of what it would be to add. If somebody wanted to,
that was intended to be, you know, if you were that last house on the road and they had to extend it a quarter mile, they would give you a price, you know, what you would have to pay and what they might pay, depending on the housing density.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, there are options within the franchise, for example, that the town can collect a fee. I think it's up to $3 per subscriber that the cable company would collect and it would come back to us. But again,
right.
Is it, you know, that's putting the burden for everybody back onto the subscribers instead of the people who.
But then you could also put that in a revolving fund that is meant just for infrastructure upgrades.
Right.
I mean.
But, you know, is it fair to charge every subscriber in Samberton, you know, a $2 fee? And 30 houses are going to benefit because that's where the money would go.
Yeah.
The build out would go. No, it's. I think it gets to be a kind of slippery slope when you start using taxpayer money to extend what is not a at least it's not recognized by the state as a required service.
Taxpayers are getting angry now at having to pay taxes to pay other people's bills and stuff.
We're going to get to the new school payments. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say if there's something that they can do and get reimbursed under the gopher because it serves a school-aged home, but I don't see it as anything
we're
that we can be putting money into.
Okay.
No, we're not going to be contributing to it.
Yeah.
Do you want me to ask her to move it along with?
Well, I'd be curious to know why it's taken a year and a half. You know, we provided the town's final inputs to DTC were provided in December of 2018. So that was a year and a half ago.
Right. I think that it would mean that maybe the Atlantic Broadband didn't accept all of those, and
well,
we were back at the back and forth. I don't know though.
Yeah, but
what their thoughts were.
That's. Year and a half of lawyers doing something gets expensive.
Yes, only one who makes anything out of that's the lawyers.
Yeah.
So.
And don't get me wrong, Kate Miller is
she is the
recognized expert in the state when it comes to cable franchise.
Yeah.
So we're lucky to have her, but at some point, I'm not sure what's left to negotiate, and I haven't seen anything in the way of. Negotiations coming back to us saying, you know, this is what they're offering. What do you guys want to do? So I'd be curious to know what the plan is to close out the agreement.
Okay.
Since it expired 3 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. A little over.
Yep. I'll see what's up with her.
Okay.
On. It's the end of new business. Old business, the town office schedule.
Oh, do you want to continue on with the way that things have been going? We did have one day where the town clerk opened up the lobby as it was like pouring, and she set up very strict.
I see that she's got it marked off and signs.
You have to be in here, then you have to stay right here. And so I think it's been going okay.
How is it for our staff? Are they getting the time and the access they need to get everything done, or do they need more time in the office?
I think that, I don't want to speak for them, but I think that Terry would like to be in here every day if she could. Office on Thursdays has been a bit of a crunch for him.
Okay.
But.
So what's your overall sense? I mean, are we at a point where? We have three options. One is we keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Option two is we let the staff come in every day, but only keep the public hours Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then the third option is we just go back to full 5 days a week with staff. And the public able to schedule appointments if they need to come in for something.
I think that if we have staff people in here still scheduling on those days, that would be a good transition.
So go back to 5 days a week operation with scheduling.
No. So let the staff be in here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'll have to coordinate that with. The treasurer and
make sure that's fine.
Yeah. So not to interfere. You know, that may only be half a day, or you know, in the morning or in the afternoon, but we can work that out. So,
that would be fine too, if the treasurer had problems or whatever with that, then I think that we could arrange it where Steve and Terry could come in after Karen leaves.
Yeah.
But, I think that still keeping the doors locked and setting appointments will keep down the congestion of just people randomly being in here.
So you can coordinate the timing of Terry and
just let everybody come in.
Steve being here, and then we'll stick to Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for scheduled appointments for people who need to come in and get
open the
specific services.
Open the lobby.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
We can do that.
And then Tuesday and Thursday, the lobby will be closed, but the people can come in, the staff.
Okay.
Yeah. Starting on this Monday coming.
Whenever you want it.
Because Terry and Steve won't be back until Friday.
Yep. If you want to, they can start Monday. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
Town administrator's report.
So then in your packets, you'll see...
My screen just blanked out.
Okay. Correspondence from the Winnesquam Regional School District. That goes over the district assessment and our payment schedule for fiscal year
2021. It should be, the subject line's wrong. It should be 2021. But they don't even know what year they're in.
And then down below that email, you'll see the, oops, I said that, I apparently heard that one first.
Yeah, that's all right.
The way that they have come up with their formula.
Yeah, so I know that in talking with Nina Gardner, the school budget committee and the school board have been doing a lot of work to try to reduce the tax burden as much as they can based on unassigned fund balance in the school budget. You know, there's a lot of things they didn't have to do over the remainder of the school year because of the COVID. Some things they still had to pay for. So I think it's down from something like $1.55 per thousand, which is what was adopted at the school board district meeting, down to closer to $1.40. So that's good, but it's still going to be a big impact come December or October when we set the tax rate. See that reflected in the, you know, our last payment I think was $450,000,
right,
for the month of July, and now the next one's $775,000.
So. The last year's, the July, it spikes in the, and then it trickles again.
Right, same thing here. It starts high, and then
it's lower.
I think that's timing of when they get funding as well.
Yep.
They get some of the state aid and federal aid. It is what it is.
Right.
But
just for your information right there. And then I also included in here some the Belknap County Conservation did a press release that will be going out to a bunch of different papers, and I also included the letter that they sent.
Okay. So this is the same thing they came and briefed us on back in the fall.
Yep.
Have you already forwarded this to Brad?
Brad received this as well, and there was another letter that is going out to, which is very similar, which why I didn't include it, but it's going out to all of the abutters over there on Blackbrook.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be worthwhile for them.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they got pretty good cooperation from the property owners.
Butters,
you're always going to have some people who aren't interested, and that's fine. But it sounds like there's enough to make it a worthwhile project that they want to move forward. So and they also mentioned they're still doing the assessment of the culverts for that area.
Yep.
So.
Yep. The runoff and all that stuff.
Around Blackbrook. And it's free, so that's my favorite kind of service.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I want to put together a thank you note for Justin that we can send. We can sign it. Because he brought his
big dump truck from sources unknown, and it made it a lot easier, and we were able to get it all done in one evening. So.
Yeah. The issue that we had out on one of the islands.
Yep.
Yep.
We put out signs. We've been following up.
Okay.
The valuable things that were easily taken from the area have been removed, so okay. We're going to have to coordinate with somebody who's got a boat that can handle some of the other things that are still out there to take away and dispose of.
Probably cinder blocks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to decide how much of it's worth actually getting off versus...
But anyway, so I did
wait till the ice forms and we can drive out and pick it up.
Yeah.
I did order signs, permanent signs that are going to be, I think Johnny said they'll be arriving any day now to put up there, so they'll be a permanent. By fire, stuff like that, by order of the selectmen.
Okay.
The library asked Nate to do an RFP for their roof, and I sent Marcia the form that I had been working off of for RFPs, but as far as specifically what she needs, it's likely going to have to come from the library, because I wouldn't know how to write an RFP for something I'm not familiar with at all. Nate's concerned that he's not going to have enough time to oversee the actual
work
that's going on involved, and I think that that's something that's an expectation of the library.
So it's a different relationship with the library, but the library trustees are responsible for any of the interior maintenance or services for the building. The town is responsible for anything exterior.
Okay, well then. Yeah.
So this falls under Nate's job as the for doing the maintenance side.
It is considered a town
building.
Do
the RFP?
He's responsible for the roof. So.
Okay.
Because it is technically a town building.
I really don't know how Nate's going to be able to oversee an entire roof fix. When he also has to be down at the
we can look at some ways to mitigate that, but technically that's in his.
It's not going to require him to be there every single minute.
I think that was the impression that he received was that.
Yeah, I had my roof replaced. I went out and I looked while they were doing it. Check it at the end of the day. You know, I didn't sit out there for 8 hours a day watching them install a new roof.
Yeah, I mean he needs to be on call in case they have a question or they have something. But maybe we need to talk to Nate and explain to him.
Well, maybe we can find somebody to perform that role. You know, to support him.
They already got a quote. In the minutes for the CIP, it was $25,000?
$25,000 for the roof. Yeah.
But she's saying it's 15 shingles. So I don't feel comfortable, like, without knowing everything that needs to go on and needs to be done, putting that out there like that. Because 15 shingles, in my mind, is totally different.
Yeah, 15 shingles doesn't sound right.
No, it's a total roof replacement on
that building.
I have to go back and check. I don't remember if it's just the old portion or if it's the entire.
I think it's just the old building.
But I mean, I can help Nate with the RFP. It's not going to be.
Not the RFP. It's the expectation that he's going to have to be there.
He's not going to be there. I mean, that's just if that's an expectation, then
next meeting, why don't you ask Nate to come in?
Okay.
Yeah, but
and we'll explain. We can explain to him.
Well, it's not. I don't think it's him. So we need to. We need to establish how we're going to manage that project,
yeah,
and just convey that expectation to the library board of directors so they understand. You know, it's not going to be his full-time job for the 2 weeks that they're doing the roof. You know, somebody will be available to check on the project. Somebody will be available to call if there has to be a change. But
yeah,
they're not going to have a clerk of the works sitting there watching every shingle get installed.
Yeah.
So, I understand. We don't need to put any more on Nate's plate than he's already got.
We also don't need to micromanage a project.
Yeah. So
we'll talk to him.
Peg asked me this past week why we wouldn't be able to take the appropriated money from like the trustees and have it be, instead of doing one big transfer at the end of the year, doing it more incrementally, like as we're using it,
we get a bill for $12,000, we actually submit it to the trustees and get paid?
Yes. Can we just start doing that as a process?
I,
as opposed to at the end with one big thing where we're scrambling like we were.
I was surprised that we were doing it that way.
Hmm.
Okay. So we're fine with that?
Yeah, unless the trustees have something that prevents us from doing that, I think it makes a lot more sense.
I don't think that. Because it's not any legal, like anything that legally as opposed to what might be their internal policies.
Yeah.
So I didn't check into their internal policies, but technically we can do it. Just didn't, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it makes a lot more sense, and we avoid things where, you know, like where we took the $400,000 for the ambulance or for the fire truck that had to come out of the general fund. You know, that's a big hole.
Right.
When that money is already sitting there, so what you lose is you lose interest, right? That's the only, to me, the only thing I can think of would be if you're paying it out over time. You know, if you pay it in December instead of June, you're going to lose interest on that money. And I don't know how they manage it, how the funds are set up. So I think it's worth asking Megan, just to make sure we understand. But
that actually just clicked in my head. I did get an Laconia Savings, or no, Bank of New Hampshire now, asked if they could, I don't know if it would be like, take a look at our, yes. You can unlock it.
Can't hear you.
Oh,
you're all right, Julie. What do you, unlock it?
Sure.
No. I don't think anybody's going to show up now.
And if they do, we'll pick them up.
Just to look at our investments and our policies, and just because it hasn't been looked at in a while, and like the way that we invest our money and all those things.
And we're
when they had first approached me, it was like last September, and I was like, I don't know.
2 weeks in the job, and they're
asking. I don't know which way is up, so
yeah.
Give me a minute.
That's the investment policy is something that the board is supposed to generate and pass to the trustees, so I think I rarely see harm in having somebody else take a look at it and offer some suggestions, and you know, maybe there are some things we could be doing differently that'll
some things we haven't looked at or some ideas we haven't thought of yet.
I do think it's, while we are starting to gear up again for like getting ready for our budget, it's a good time to sort of take a look at those things.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I had was, I noticed in the newspaper that there was a nice thank you to our assistant Terry for the Avatar stuff online. So that was nice.
I've used it many times already.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. Very helpful.
And then did you want to, Julie is here to give some tax updates and to be sworn in. I had your original oath of office, so I guess we just never did it that day. It wasn't in the minutes that we did it.
No,
so
I think we did.
I printed it or whatever, and we just never did it. Julie needs to be sworn in, and she has a tax collector update.
I won't. I gave you one, right?
Yep. So, tax
taxes were due yesterday. So far, we have collected 91, almost 92% of the taxes. They will still be coming. And then I looked at the 2019, the fiscal year one, and we collected 98.17 of those. Back today, the guy who does the lien notices and all that stuff, it's time to
start.
Get going.
Yep.
And I'm waiting to hear back from Jack. So I pulled the 217 lien, because that's what will go to deed. 17 leads. And there's 15 properties on it. I expect that to drop, as it usually does, to
the last minute people.
You'll clean up at least 8 of them just like that.
Yeah.
There's
a
couple new ones on there that I don't know, so we'll see. Of course, there's the standard ones that have been there. I've heard no movement on them since last year. Since the last time. Her obligation and is off that deed list this year. So she's doing a good job. So
okay. So was it September 22nd? Is that the?
I think it's the 4th of September deed date.
Oh, okay.
They get so many days. You know, Jack will do that lien notice, and then they have so many days to pay it. Get the letters out, and then we go right to deed notice. And then they have, it may be easier at the end of September, but the deed note, I'll figure that out. I'll let you know.
I can't hear you. The recording clerk can't hear you
very
well.
Oh,
sorry. Okay.
And on a side note, I think next Wednesday we're going to go back to regular hours on Wednesday night.
Okay, stay out.
Yeah, we won't have support from DMV. They'll still be not offering that late, but we're going to be there. And I think maybe we're done sending out renewal notices. It was really popular, and it's just dropped. And it's like, why are we sending out these? They're coming to the window with a renewal notice. That defeats our whole purpose. I mean, we do it if you have 5 or 6 vehicles. It's helpful, but we're kind of, why mail out 300 of them and get 10% back? We'll have made it final, but this might be the last. I think, I don't know if I'll mail them. If I was going to mail them, I'd have to mail them now for August, and maybe that will be the last one, or I'll make a notice out to people to let them know we're not going to mail them.
Watching it, it seems to be working well with the, the window set up.
Window works great, except for when it
rains.
It's hard to control the door.
Yeah.
You put a sign on the door, even if you say 2 people, you look and they come in. And it's not their fault, they can't see inside. So, but I can't stand at the door either.
Right.
The window's great. I mean, I really don't have any complaints about the window, and I've been using the side door, like when there's a line, the last couple of days because of taxes. So.
Okay.
And last week we closed out the year with the help of Avatar. And a little stress, but.
Yeah. So, I think one of the things we need to look at, and, we've got a year till that happens again.
Yeah.
But with all of the stuff that has to happen on June 30th and July 1st, I think we really need to look at closing, maybe at noon on the 30th. I don't know what day of the week it is next year, but, and being closed on the 1st so that finance, treasury, and town clerk, tax collector can focus on all of that end of year stuff. There's so much of it. And to have, even if you close, people are still showing up, and so I think we ought to think about that going into next year, just to give them a chance to really get it right, because if we get it wrong, we're going to live with it. You know, it'll come out in the audit, it'll come out, you know, we'll be trying to fix that all year long versus, you know, it's a little bit of an inconvenience, but, you know.
It'll take more to fix it than it will do.
Yeah.
So on the 30th, I stopped deposits at 2 o'clock and brought them to the bank.
Yeah.
Had them to the bank. So we ended the year clean. There was no money left over from anything carried to the new year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That we should. It was a lot for you to do.
It was a lot that day, but I think it's going to pay off because we started off at zero.
Yep. Not trying to back out.
No, we're not, and we're not doing, and all the money, and they gave me deposit slips, so it all went. The only thing you can't control is like motor vehicle transfer. They do that the next day. This taking the steps, you know, that's something that's always going to go. But I think at least for the taxes, the office was done. And I did hire have somebody coming up on a training for me on a Sunday. That's when she's available, which is fine. There'll be nobody here. We can spread out on this table, and she's going to help me balance the MS-61.
Good.
Good. We talked about also potentially having a lady from DRA come and do a training for her and I.
There's a lot. There's a lot to learn. And it's hard because all the training, the conferences are all canceled. All the training for the state to learn all this stuff is all canceled.
Yeah, so you came in and all of a sudden couldn't get your training that you needed.
Avatar has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I set up a training with her for the beginning of August on a Monday. That's when I'll be able to, she's going to help me end July. We don't end it, but close out July, make sure I have all the documents that support it and all the documents Peggy needs to balance with Peggy. We balance June, but now we're going to set up a procedure that every month that we go through and make sure everything is absolutely
good.
Yeah, that's something that we haven't been doing in the past years, and it's been biting us in the audit.
Yeah, it's a lot, though. You've got to find the time to do it.
Yeah.
But that's why, if it takes closing for half a day or something.
Yeah.
You know, I understand it's an inconvenience for some people.
Yeah, once a
month. But at the end of the day, it's going to pay big dividends to get it right.
Yeah, once a month, we have a closing, and, you know, everybody closes for half a day and gets.
Yeah, or the whole day.
Yeah, it's, whatever you guys decide. But.
Yeah. It's tough during tax season, and being the end of the month, people wait till the end of the month to register their vehicles. But if we publicize it.
Yep.
And we'll do the best we can do.
Yeah. And eventually people will get used to it. And they won't
be as bad because I'll be more prepared this year.
Yeah. So Trish, this is kind of tangential, but it goes back to the BMSI. And, you know, is there anything that we can do to working with BMSI to help connect Peg's system to Julie's system to help reconcile some of that a little easier?
I doubt it.
They're in competition.
Yeah, but.
And that's just also one of the things, I think, with the way that municipalities run, like, our general ledgers and, like, the way that we do the fund accounting, that there's not a real good bridge between any of those other vendors, the way it ties into the general ledger.
So, again, this goes back to reports and things that we could potentially generate that if they can be customized, you know, maybe we can get something out of the finance system that aligns better with what's coming out of the tax system so that it makes it just that much easier to try to
do
the line by line and balance.
I think Patty said at Avatar she'd help me run some reports and with Peggy, and like we were fine in June, but what I requested for credits, like when the escrow companies pay for property tax, it's already been paid, you have to send them back their money.
Right.
That's just the way it goes, and I can't delete it out of this big payment. So those were processed, but that was the money difference. So it's where she's putting it, and where this system is putting it.
Right.
So we got a little work to do to. Yes, we do have some work to do. But Peggy's pretty clever. She's going to know what to do.
Yeah.
We are working. BMSI is, I think, starting to get back up to speed, and they are working with Peg right now to, I believe she sent our payroll files over to their IT person so that they can take them and transpose them into the new payroll system and train me and Peg on the new payroll system, and she'll run them concurrently. The new one will be not live until we know what's up, but so that we are getting those updates that we...
Because, right. We've talked about it, but that is our objective for budget season, is to be able to use that system to generate all of the budget documents we need to build the budget, instead of Ray Massey having to manage a 27-page or 27-tab spreadsheet with formulas galore.
He's so good at it.
Yeah, he is good at it.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
Yeah, if you go on the BMSI website and you look at what they advertise in terms of reports and things they can generate, it'll do everything that Ray did straight out of the system and then cut out all the manual stuff. So
I need to have BMSI come into my computer and update it so that I can also be able to.
Yeah. So I know. I mean, they're just getting back up to speed, so it's going to take a while, but it sure would be nice.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Ray.
John and Jim, if I may, Ray here. We are at, we're nearing a crossroads where we either need to figure out if we can get it out of that system, or we have to build it, because right now we have nothing to start with. I've not worked on new modeling in hopes that, I haven't had the time, but in hopes that we could, I'd rather focus my energy on extracting from the system what we need. Therefore, we can use it in future years. You know, you don't need an Excel guru to build the thing. So in any case, I just think it's important. I don't know how we get that moved along, and I'm ready to help wherever I can.
Tomorrow. And I guess it would also be helpful to know exactly then what you're looking for it to do, or how you...
Well, so I think what we need to do is get in touch with BMSI,
set
up either a meeting or a call, and get Ray, BMSI, you, maybe Peg if she's available, on the phone or at a computer and say, okay, you know, we can send them an example of here's what we're doing, here's the information that we need and the format we need it, how do we get that out of our finance system, and have them help us, you know, and it may, you know, we'll have to see if it requires some kind of add-on that we don't have, or if it's part of a capability that exists but we just don't know how to pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we may need to hire them to make a new form or
but a new report. I think the key to that is, you know, rather than try to describe it, find a time we can get Ray on the phone with them, get him on a Skype or a Zoom call or something where we can share screens and show the actual data sets that we're trying to pull, and have them walk us through it.
All right, I'll connect with them tomorrow. And then get with Ray to see what works for him and his schedule and stuff.
Yeah, I can be pretty flexible. What we want is what their website actually says they can produce. So it's. I think if we get everybody on a phone call, it won't take us long to either figure out whether we have that capability or we need an add-on or we need to do it ourselves. So.
Okay.
It's a good place to start.
Anything else for you, Julie?
Get sworn in.
Get sworn in so I can send it to the election people so we can have the elections. Oh, quick update on the election, if you'd like it. The state is providing all the protective stuff we need, so there's nothing to purchase. everything from the plexi screens to masks, shields, paper for the ballot to go on so we don't have to clean the booth, pencil or pen for every single person as they go through. It's a huge shipment coming. It will come from National Guard will deliver it to Paul because he's the coordinator,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
and I said to him we're going to go straight to the town hall with it.
Another one that will probably need some help from Nate to get the dividers and things on
we'll
the
have
table.
To have, and I think we should ask for some volunteers. The state Secretary of State has put out a thing looking for people who'd like to volunteer to help get things together.
I
know you will, John.
Yeah.
I'm retired, so I can come help
yeah.
if you need it.
And we'll have and there's going to be a lot of absentee ballots. There's so much. I did a Zoom call last week on the 30th.
Perfect timing.
He apologized to everybody on the call. It wasn't the day. Out of 282 clerks, there was only 89 people, and they weren't all clerks.
Wow.
So we're going to be having once a week, I think bi-weekly meetings, and then we're going to one. Right, for the federal postcards, and next Monday, the 17th, is it the 17th or 13th?
Monday is
the 13th. 13th. We're trying to, the election people, supervisors, myself, and a couple ballot clerks, and if you guys would like to come, we're just going to have a meeting. Kim's been invited, and Dick, to just start the process. This is what we're going to do and how we'll make the election go smooth and safe for everyone. We'll have to figure out how much space we need. They're even providing the tape for the floor to divide it out.
Well, we have this very nice little write up here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We've already got it.
Well, that's
so I don't see how we're going to have enough room, you know, for other things in the hall except for just voting.
Yeah, there's not going to be any.
Yeah.
We're not going to be selling cookies. And
I don't think there's going to be room.
It's not a good idea at this point.
Okay.
No. So, I mean, those are things, and those aren't my decisions to make. That's, you know, the moderator's decision, I think.
The 13th, you say?
I think
Monday?
So. I don't know what time yet. I will reach out to you. I did forward you an email from a Zoom meeting if you want to go on those.
Yeah.
Okay, is this going to be a Zoom meeting? Is that what it is?
No, this won't be. This will be up there, and we're going to have to social distance and, you know, the whole, follow the procedures.
Let me know when it's going to be and what time.
We're just going to try to see how we can make the election work smoothly.
If nothing else, I can be Joseph.
Yeah,
guinea
pig.
Huh?
The guinea pig.
Yeah, to walk through and...
But I was very happy they're going to provide all the stuff. So
our job is going to be a lot more important during that time.
Yeah. And they're sending N95 masks, and they're asking us to, they're sending the paper bags to put them in after they're done and label them. And we can store them. They're good for quite a while. So just things like that. So, and so up there, Amanda has helped me, and that front storage room is completely
clean. Wow.
It looks great. So we have a lot of stuff to shred.
The one with where
all the where we count the ballots.
Where all the boxes were and all the shelves and all the junk.
Fantastic. All
good.
Labeled with nice colored labels, when to destroy and what to keep, what's forever. Looks great. So there has been progress during COVID.
Good.
Very good.
She needs to get sworn in.
Yeah, but
the printer printed it upside down.
The left-hand person does that.
Put your hand up.
You got the preamble part before you get.
Oh yeah.
Do we need to make a motion to do this? We don't, do we?
No. I
don't think so. No, because we don't have a, I mean, she got voted in, so.
Yeah. On this 8th day of July, 2020, the Town of San Bertin Board of Selectmen hereby appoints Julianne Lonigan to the office of Town Clerk Tax Collector. This term for this position is from the date of March 11th, 2020 until March 2023. Upon taking the oath of office and having the appointment of the certificate of the oath of office recorded in the office of the municipal clerk, you shall have the powers to perform duties and be subject to the liabilities of such offices until term expiration. Mm-hmm. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Julianne Lonigan.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
And affirm.
And affirm.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
All duties incumbent upon me.
All duties incumbent upon me.
As the Town Clerk Tax Collector for the Town of San Bertin.
As the Town Clerk Tax Collector for the Town of San Bertin.
According to the best of my abilities.
According to the best of my abilities.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations of the Constitution and laws of the State of New Hampshire.
Agreeable to the laws and Constitution.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations.
Rules and regulations.
Of the Constitution.
Of the Constitution.
And laws.
And laws.
Of the State of New Hampshire.
Of the State of New Hampshire.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Hair hug. Elbow bump.
All right. So I once you sign that, or whatever.
Then you have to go file it.
I have to send it to TRA.
Need you to sign. You didn't bring your own pen?
Nope. I used Trisha's. We worked together all day long.
Yep.
Oh, that was a lot of rain today.
You saw him digging to do, or you?
I've done the digging.
No. That would help the digging.
It did help.
All right, thank you.
I'm good.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, we will move on to select board reports.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Jill.
Bye.
We had 2 weeks ago, we had a hearing on the Thursday for the Connolly and for the Lobster Connection and the site plan approval, and the site plan was approved. We had a lot of people there that were a lot of abutters there that were unhappy with it, and I think we pretty much satisfied, or were able to satisfy, all of the abutters' requests reasonably.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Mr. Connolly went away a happy man, because he's now able to put the tent up for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to start work on the tent area. Now, this site approval is only good until December 30th. At that time, it becomes null and void. He needs to come back in January with a new site approval for both the building and the tent area, because he doesn't have approval to open anything in the building. He can start doing the construction at his own risk, but there's no site approval for the building.
So the building wasn't part of the review?
No, it was just for the tent, and his plans for doing that is where the tent is going to be completely surrounded by a fence, by either a 6-foot or I think he said an 8-foot fence. So there will be no... Some of the abutters' complaints were the fact that people coming out of the driveway, the headlights were going to be shining into their bedroom windows, which upon further looking at, it has to go through a stockade fence to get to the window, but okay. And noise and whatnot, and they were all pretty much satisfied. So that one went well.
Yeah. And the audio, I think, was okay.
Yeah, the audio, it was spotty at times, but the audio, audience being able to come in via audio worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, we attempted to have another site plan, July 2nd. We had two alternates, myself and Steve and
Audra
and the applicants. Unfortunately, we didn't have either a chairman or a vice chairman there. We could have had the three people quorum.
Except we had nobody to make the appointments
to change them from alternate. So we couldn't vote or do anything. I cannot as a ex officio officer, I cannot serve as chairman. So they didn't know that. So that was my fun day. We started the meeting at 6 o'clock and we ended it at 6:15. Shortest site plan approval I've ever been on. So that was all I had. One more thing. We are going to start holding rec commission meetings in person.
Oh, good.
At the highway garage. Amanda has worked out a schedule, and I just got it the other day, so we will start having them.
Do you know how her the bags have been going at all?
The activity bags?
I haven't heard anything about it.
I think she was pretty busy the first week of it.
Yeah,
the kids loved them, from what I from what I initially heard, but I didn't hear anything from Amanda.
Mm.
We got the flags done. That was the big thing last week.
Mm.
Building construction committee is not meeting again until next week, but we're still on track to get a series of recommendations to the board probably in late August, early September for consideration for the budget preparation. So,
yep.
Not select report related, but CARES Act reimbursements.
Mm-hmm. I got some. I'm collecting all the things. Steve, and I don't have a problem necessarily with this. I just don't know how it's going to come to fruition. Was using his cell phone a lot during the when he was working from home, and there was something about, like, when he had to call in, anyways, his cell phone bill got to be a bit higher than anticipated, and he asked if he could put in for reimbursement. And I said, I don't see where that would be a problem, but the money would be going back to the town, so we're going to have to just figure out a way to have him reimbursed.
Okay. Yeah, and he's going to have to provide...
He did provide all of that.
A detailed list of calls, so we can pull those out. So we just got an email... since we've been here tonight.
Oh, okay.
So, because they know we haven't put anything in yet, so there's the grant application that we have to submit, and there's the actual reimbursement request for the money.
Okay.
We have until September 15th for the any of the requests. They extended that whole period, so they have every month there's a window to submit, but you can... do it all at the end if you want to, but they're highly recommending we get the grant application done and submitted, so that part is already processed. And when we turn in our claim, they'll be ready to pay it. So you want to take a look at that and see if there's anything we need. I saw the RFP or the
Yeah. All right. Request for bids for the property went out today.
And then there was something. What was the deal with that particular parcel? Like, because as I'm like looking into it, all of a sudden there's been like people like asking about what's going on with this piece of land, and so I think that it is it predates like the conforming or whatever lot size.
Right.
It is on a private road though. Moose Run is a private road. So I think that that might be a consideration for people who are interested in that. And then there's something with the right-of-way right there. And I was looking into it because I knew as soon as I sent out the RFP that I'm going to get questions. So
sure.
if anybody has any background information.
I mean, all I can tell you is it came to the town as a deeded lot for a tax lien in 2009.
And
so
that's a really large subdivision out there that it was subdivided like a couple of different times. And and it's also part of that same subdivision with the, in that same area of the gentleman who called earlier.
Yeah, where the Plumber Pond part is,
So there's just a lot of things going on, and I want to.
Well,
that's out towards Franklin, right?
Meredith.
No, it's
Meredith, okay.
It's right off of Huber.
Okay,
Moose Run. And it's all the way at the very end.
When I hear about that, I keep thinking of the other one that was.
Yeah. So if you look at it's one of those little bits up there just above Plumber Pond, right on the Meredith border.
Yeah.
And you have, 0.65 acres. It's not a big lot.
That particular lot, I think, is the last one.
Yeah.
In
right. It's the only. It's all by itself up there. So the people who are going to be interested in it are going to be very limited.
There's been a couple.
Yeah. But probably from there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It can't.
Probably small enough to where only somebody in the immediate area can profit by it. Anyway.
But it's out. We've got all the disclaimers on it. So. We need to do an update to the volunteer policy. And specifically, and you may have more things that you want to address, but so remember one of the topics that came up last year was the tenure for the members on the CIP committee, right? They're all one-year appointees, which means every year we have to go through the process again of trying to. And so Andy Sanborn, who was the chairman last year, had asked about, can we get that converted to a three-year? What does it take? The only place that is specified is in the volunteer policy. That's called out under CIPC. So I think it makes a lot of sense to turn that into a three-year, and then we'll assign people. You know, we'll do the staggered assignments this year. You know, so 1, 2, and 3 years, and then that way we're only dealing with one person every year instead of a whole committee getting replaced and potentially losing.
Yeah, how many people on the CIP?
Well, I think it's three citizen reps, but then you've got the budget committee, the planning board, it's got a couple of reps. We have a rep. So when you start, you end up around seven people, I think, six or seven by the time it's all done.
But there's only really three that are appointed.
Yeah, I think it's three. I can look real quick. But that's the place to update that would be in the volunteer policy, along with anything else that you've got.
Could we make it so that all committees get reappointed or reaffirmed or whatever it is after town meeting? Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not, unless there's like something mitigating where somebody moves and they can't be on the committee anymore, that we just have like a date that we just, so we're not, it's not like a revolving door of.
Right. Well, so normally the rest
it's
of them
supposed
are
to be 2 weeks after they get elected.
Yeah.
They're supposed to get sworn in. So.
But for the volunteers, they're just going to expire at some point, however. But it should only be, for most of them, it should only be one or two people per committee because everything else is set up with three-year terms. Yeah, well, so we can adjust any of those that aren't.
Yeah.
But, this every year replacing the entire CIPC, when that's one that really benefits from corporate knowledge and history of having worked on plans. three citizen reps, selectmen, two planning board reps, a budget committee.
Two planning board.
Well, if CIP was doing what CIP is supposed to do, then it has more of a planning function to it, but we're not there yet. I think that was it. Oh, how are we doing on end of year? So it would be nice if by the end of July we could get a final FY20 budget statement.
I gotta wait. Well, she's not done yet.
Okay.
She has to, because we still are getting things in. I know the library is still getting things in. They have anticipated that they'll be returning some of their funds. Sorry. Okay. But we just kind of gotta wait until
out. Okay. It's gonna be when it is. I don't want to try to force it earlier than she's ready, but getting into the budget process.
She's planning on doing one more check run, I believe, just to tidy all of those loose ends up, peg is.
Yeah.
I don't know where the library falls on that, but I know that they were waiting as well for a couple of things to come in.
Sure. Yeah, there's always going to be the last minute things hanging out.
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's it.
Still there, Sue?
I am.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I'm sorry that you couldn't hear us the entire time.
Yeah, it's been cutting out like 10 to 15 seconds at a time. So I don't even know what subject you're on sometime.
Yeah.
Well, I'll help you with the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Not sure if there's like spotty things going on with like storms and whatnot or...
Yeah, it sun's out here, so it's not here, but it's never done this before. This is the first time I've had trouble.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm experiencing the same thing. I thought it might have been on my end, but clearly it's not. It cuts out for long periods
of
time.
Yes.
Talk about
somebody. Maybe they're gasping in between sentences.
Yeah, taking use of air.
Okay. Yeah, that's it for the select group.
Yep.
Then we move on to signature wars.
I have a bunch of PDFs for you guys, for everybody to sign with their new rates. We have had a couple of hiccups with the health insurance that we're still sort of working out, actually. There was a couple of people who, for some reason or another, didn't get their actual, like, PCP listed on their insurance card, but the health trust has gotten those turned back around, I believe, so everybody has their cards appropriately. I do have a question. If we were to hire like a new full-time person, let's say, and they became benefit eligible, would then we be, as a town, that initial HRA stuff, or is that just like this first time, first go around?
That's a good question. We didn't address, you know, what happens if somebody joins
partway,
mid-year, whether it was they get the full benefit, is it prorated?
I would advise against not giving somebody the full extent of, like, the flexible spending if, like, they're coming in partway through the plan year, even though they might be eligible. Like, it just seems like it would be a risk.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially a prorated type of deal. I don't know. If you want to think about that for a minute. Ray?
What do you think, Mr. Chairman?
Jim, there was discussion about it that I recall, and I think we didn't talk about it in detail, but I remember it coming up, and I think prorating was the concept based on the amount of the year that was left.
It makes sense.
But again, there was nothing in writing or a definitive answer on that.
Okay. I mean, I don't obviously anticipate any full-time hires right now, unless somebody leaves, but I don't see that right now.
Right.
So we are still sort of like working out some of those little things that are cropping up with the general like switching of the health insurance stuff. But yeah, I have all those PAFs, most of them, for you guys to sign.
Bring it on.
Oh, and I do have the PAF. Terry has written you guys up about an elderly exemption and the updated veterans tax credit. There was a woman who filed for both, and Terry is recommending that the board deny the elderly exemption because she's not income eligible, but she is still eligible for the veterans exemption. So that's what's written up here, and she's asking you guys to sign that. That one's yours. These are all yours.
Divide it in half. Okay. This is the veterans. Oh, she's a Navy veteran, too.
I believe her previous spouse was.
This is all.
And did you email me back about the reviews? When did you want to sit down and did you get that email I sent back to you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, I
about scheduling a non-public to do the department head reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've got all five of them here I can give to you.
Okay.
I don't know how we want to handle that, if we want to do a non-public and discuss them.
Yeah, we had touched on it last time, but I think if we do a non-public to do the actual finalize the reviews, and then we as, the appropriate rep to that department can deliver those, and then we don't have to have a public session because it's only one person. It just seems to...
All of this is just for the veterans, right? This is the DD form 214. Veterans, both of these two pages.
Okay.
I guess the other one isn't in here.
You couldn't do anything with them at the moment, so.
once got so tired of signing everything I had a stamp. And then I found out it wasn't legal.
Oh, really? I just have a scribble. That seems pretty, forged by my children at a later date.
Have it scanned in so I can paste it into a document and not have to scan the whole document again. What's your PDF? It nobody knows.
All right.
Chief Anchor has the wrong form.
Yep.
This is the part where he normally gets up and leaves anyways.
It is the part where I'm going to leave. See y'all.
Chairs, and they're all, you know, every two chairs in between them are turned over and socially distanced. So.
Yeah. Next time.
You're missing Jim in shorts.
Yeah.
That's quite a sight.
I'll be there tomorrow night in shorts.
Oh yeah,
none of us will though.
Conservation Commission.
Good night, all.
Good night, Ray.
Good night, Ray. Bye. So this has her down as the veteran. She's actually the spouse.
I don't know if the Terry said that she was the spouse the surviving or the non-surviving. So I don't know if that then it transfers to her in that way or.
Yeah, we just need, there's three choices: the veteran, spouse, or surviving spouse. She's the surviving spouse,
not
the veteran.
Oh, gotcha. She put the wrong box.
Yeah.
Okay.
No way she served on a ship in 1970. What? We didn't have women on ships back in the 70s.
Oh. So. Do they allow them on a ship now?
Yep.
Oh, that's nice. Do you want to start planning payroll?
Sure.
Two weeks ago, I thought I was doing so well with putting everything back where it belongs that I put Karen's things back without having you guys sign it. by Doug.
Wow.
I dug
nice.
That. Thank you.
The level?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Want to come do some work at my house?
No. This is me taking the fence. I took my fence down yesterday morning so the guy could get in there with his truck.
So you can turn around and put it back up. Not yet. Getting there.
It was fun to hop around in the sand though last night. It was like hot at the top and then cool in the bottom, and then my feet were all sparkly after. It was lovely.
Free pedicure. Picture of it.
Yeah.
Haven't
the,
been over there.
Trump sign?
Yeah.
Yeah, they came and made him move it back.
They put it down?
No.
Just
but
still,
not, like,
it's not hanging
it's
out
still
over
the same
over
height,
the road.
But it was hanging out right to the edge of the road.
Yeah.
And they made him move it back.
We got a
feet.
Lot of phone calls about that.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
Oh. I saw two accidents happen.
It is in Tilton, yeah.
I saw two accidents happen where people stopped to take pictures and somebody right into the back end.
Apparently that sign has been all over. It was in North Conway.
Nope.
Or more than one of them.
Hard to imagine.
Signing a check for $775,000 to Winnesquam Regional School District.
I think the it doesn't get put away because it's slightly hot when somebody's done using it.
Signatures are done. We will move on to approving the minutes. Make a motion that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen meeting minutes of June 24th, 2020 for the non-public session.
I'll second.
Any comments on the motion?
No, I just provided one update. Well, I think it was also, he was hard to hear, so it didn't. Said Tom was absent, but he was there. I think it was just hard to hear him when he said yes, or he nodded, and so.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Since Tom is not on the telephonically, we will, we can do a roll, we don't have to do a roll call vote.
Okay.
I would make a motion also that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen's meeting minutes for June 24th, 2020 for the standard Selectmen's meeting.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any comments? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
I'll have Tom sign these next time I see him.
Our next meeting will be on July 22nd.
Did you guys want to meet prior to do the department head stuff? Or?
Yeah, it's okay with me if you want to set up a non-public so we can actually do the work on the reviews and finalize those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You tell us. Not this week. Yeah,
I don't think it's going to take us that long to do them. So,
I mean, we could come in and 3 o'clock or something, do an early afternoon, so we can get it done and get you out of here.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Yep. So that sounds good to me.
Yeah, really, any day next week should be okay. So. Figure out what works best. And
yeah, in that case, I'll hold on to what I've got. Or do you?
Trisha's got mine.
Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday work fine, I think.
All five?
No, I just did Nate, Paul Dexter, Trish. Is that it? I think those were the three I did.
Because I did Nate, Trish, Paul, Steve, and Johnny.
We need Amanda too.
Hmm?
We need Amanda too.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Amanda.
So I figured you would do at least Steve and Amanda and Johnny since you're the rep to their departments. And,
well, there's
and then we can.
You can.
Okay.
We can discuss them. I need to remind myself to do Amanda's.
Yeah, so you want to say Tuesday?
Yep, that works. Tuesday at 3.
Yeah.
Let me double check my schedule here.
Yep.
Before I say that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Case, I make a motion that we adjourn.
I will second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. We are in adjournment at 7:22 p.m.
Hi, Sue.
Good night.
Bye, Sue.
Good night,
Bye, Trish. Thanks. Bye, everybody.